Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
You ever felt financially strapped? 95% of married couples argue, guess what, about money. The number one cause of divorce in America is usually financially related in some way. The average American has over $38,000 of consumer debt. 62% of Americans will retire, this is what really got me, with less than $10,000 in income per year. How can you retire on that? The average American will spend $1.22 for every dollar they earn. So they're spending more than what they earn. Okay. Now, how many would say you could use more money? Now, see, the lottery just Jeff, you're here. You know, we did the coaching the baseball. You know, we did the practicing of the pitching, right? You just kind of throw that lob up there for bat. That's what the lottery just did for us here today. How many would like more money? I won't ask how many of you bought a ticket. All right. I got a notification is at $1.3 billion. So you'd probably get, what, $700 million or something like that is all. But often people say, you know, you don't have enough money. But they were talking about that the lottery curse that, you have to turn me down just a little bit. The lottery curse that most of the people that win the lottery come upon hard times because they get harassed by all the people that find out that they won all this money. So they get harassed. They don't know how to handle it. And we'd all like to try it, or take a crack at it, right? But a lot of people don't know how to handle it. Some have ended up in jail, in prison. They've ended up in a lot of trouble. And so winning the lottery isn't necessarily as good as what it seems. In fact, they said that 44% of people that win the lottery have lost their money in 5 years. It's gone. It's taken wings and flown away. Isn't that hard to believe? So that's what they say. But we all know that we need money to live, don't we, right? Pay the bills, put gas, maybe the house payment, clothes, food. We need money to live. Now, how many have made a bad investment? How many made a bad investment? Okay. All right. Some of you have never made a bad investment, I think. I don't know. I've made some bad investments. Probably bought something and I thought, man, I'm all excited about buying this thing. I buy it and it's kind of like not what I wanted, right? And you wish you could take it back or give it back, right? We've all made mistakes with money. We can't change the past. But this morning, maybe we can focus on how we can change the future and how we look at money. And you may think, why do you talk about money in church? Well, two-thirds of the parables in the New Testament deal with, guess what? Talk about money and possessions. In the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with money. 2,300 verses in the Bible refer to money, 5 times more than prayer or faith. And I think it's because money is part of our daily life. It's how we operate. And it very much is connected with our heart, how we handle, how we deal with money. All right? Let's begin with a verse in Proverbs 22:7, and then we'll pray. But it says, the rich rule over the poor. Okay, is that true? It is, isn't it? And the borrower is servant to the lender. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray you take your word and apply it to our hearts and to our lives this morning. In your name we ask. Amen. Solomon wrote this in the book of Proverbs. And he was a wealthy man himself. He had a lot of fame. But he understood that this idea of how we handle money, that if we become a servant to the lender, okay, that when we go into debt, we become into bondage. That word servant actually means a slave or to come into bondage to those we're indebted to. And that's true. You say, oh, no, I'm not a slave to that. Well, many ways we can. Many times you'd say, hey, I'd love to get married, but I can't afford it. Okay? I remember being back in those days, saving up enough money to get an engagement ring. And my father-in-law was nice. He asked me one day, he goes, if you need money for a wedding ring, he goes, I can help you out. I don't know how many father-in-laws are like that. He was a neat man. He was also my Bible college teacher and stuff as well. We'd love to start a family and have more children, but you know, finances come into play. We'd like to have a larger house or get out of renting, but we don't have enough money. We hate our job and would love to do something different, but we can't switch because we don't have enough money. We'd like to help somebody on a missions trip or to give somebody in need or give offerings, but we don't have enough money. And many times we're a servant to the lender. If you have a house payment, okay, we don't have any debt other than a house, but we do have it to our house. So we are bound every month to pay, make that payment, right? Getting down there. But it's still there. You're obligated to do that. And so you're a servant to it. The average household debt in America, and I'm not sure if this how current this is, it might be a couple years old, but is 136% of the household income. So say your household income was $50,000, that means you would have $70,000 in debt. Now, that's probably not uncommon. It's not uncommon. For those carrying a balance, the average credit card debt is right at about $15,000, just under $15,000. And that's high interest, isn't it? Dave Ramsey would hear that no credit card, right? Debit cards only. We use credit cards, but we pay off the balance every month. So, but if you get into that, that'll just eat you alive. The average 21-year-old owes $12,000, and I think that's modest. Right, Melissa? The average 28-year-old owes $78,000. So you got the college debt, right? And then you get out of college, and then you buy a car, probably buy a house, $78,000. And I've counseled couples that have finished college combined, they've had over $90,000 just in school debt. And they're starting out their married life. That's really a difficult hurdle to get over. The average number of U.S. households living paycheck to paycheck is 55%. Now, living to paycheck means if you didn't get a paycheck, you wouldn't be able to put gas in the car, you wouldn't be able to put food on the table, you wouldn't be able to make your house payment. That's living paycheck to paycheck. You're dependent upon that next check to pay the bills. 55% of Americans live in that predicament. What we're finding in America is that being strapped has become normal. We're used to house payments, car payments, student loan payments, credit card payments, sleepless nights, tension, and worrying about all the above. But the Bible has a lot to say about money, how we handle money. And so let's dig into that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now that's the NIV translation. If you go to other translations, they'll say mammon. And when's the last time you've used the word mammon? Okay, probably never. Money is an okay translation, but it really is much broader than that. It's materialism. So it's not just money. It would involve currency other than cash. In fact, I got a $5 bill here. You know the quickest way to double your money? Fold it and put it in your pocket, yes. Barb! You knew that. Do you? All right. Jesus says in Matthew, you cannot serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other. You can't serve both God and money or materialism. And the first point in your program there is that we are tempted, and I guess we had some of those percentages there in there, we are tempted to serve money. We are tempted to serve money. And you think, well, I've never been tempted to serve money. Well, if you've ever bought something you didn't need, you ever done that? Oh, yeah. Man, I need it. I need it. I have to buy it. You're just not settled until you go out and buy it. You know, and you think it, you know, sometimes we even think it's going to make you happy. The car commercials during Christmas time, I just make me sick because it's kind of like, oh, you know, if I get this new Lexus, Mercedes, it's life is going to be better, right? Well, you know, you'll have a nice ride, but I don't know, it doesn't always fix everything, okay? But if we've ever felt that pull that I have to get something, I'm not happy until I buy that piece of clothing, that item, then we're a servant to money. Have you ever hoarded and not given? I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm going to be a Scrooge, right? You're serving money. Have you ever fought to move up the social ladder at the expense of family? In other words, you want to get a better paycheck, better salary, and so you're willing to sacrifice family to do that. A lot of people do that. That is serving money. If you have dreams and you want to follow God's will, but yet you're not able to complete that, you're serving that idea of money. 1 Timothy 6. So we catch here that we are tempted to serve money, aren't we? We're tempted to let it take a place in our lives where we are serving it instead of it serving us. We're going to talk more about that. But it's an easy trap for us to fall into. And in our culture, debt, getting into debt is so easy, isn't it? My kids, getting out of college, about every week, they get a credit card invitation to get into debt. And so to get into debt is so easy. And we've only owned one home. But even when we came here, they were willing to give us a much larger loan than what we could fit into our budget, what we felt like we could put into our budget. And now I think they've tightened that up somewhat because that's what got the lenders into trouble. But it's easy to get into debt, and our society considers it normal, folks. But whenever we do that, we become servant to the lender, and it does control our life. Number two, Timothy... Second point here, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." The second point is we are tempted to love money. Not only to serve it, but to love money. Now, is money evil? No, it's not. It's not evil. It's neutral, isn't it? With money, we can do a lot of good things, right? But with a lot of money, you can do nothing, too. Right? You can be a wealthy person and still hate people. All right? It doesn't make you a better person. But at the same point, you can be dirt poor and have a great love for people and do a lot of good. And so money is a neutral thing. It depends on our heart and how we use it within our lives. We think, if I had more money, I could do this, 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 and this. I wouldn't have to work as much. I could give more, right? Whether it's to church or other organizations, I could give more. But statistics show that the more you have, the less you give. Isn't that interesting? And so more money just makes you more of what you already are. Should I repeat that? More money just makes you more of what you already are. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so we Scripture encourages us not to love money, but to use it to provide for our needs and the needs of others. I think that's where giving is so essential. You think, why is giving important? I think giving is important because it releases that hold that money can have on my own life. I don't think God's ever called us to be that, to hoard it to ourselves, but to be a channel that he can flow through to meet the needs of others, to meet the needs of his kingdom. So I asked you earlier if you didn't have enough money, if you wanted more money. I kind of set you up a little bit. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says that whoever loves money never has enough money. Has money, never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. I was talking about Amy. We were just talking about, sometimes we make that comment, well, I don't have enough money. Well, it's not that we don't necessarily have enough money, but probably not enough money this week, okay, for our budget or whatever, right? Sometimes we're pretty good about forcing ourselves to keep to a budget. Now, some weeks that means it's hard because not every week is the same. You get into Christmas and there's greater expenses. You have family coming and all that. To live within that can be a little, you know, you have to budget for that too then, I guess. But but to be under that influence that we never have enough money shows that we probably have a love for money. Rockefeller, I think it was him, they asked him, you know, how much is enough? So it's just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And, you know, and that is sometimes the truth. You have to kind of set goals for yourself, say, you know, how much is enough? Otherwise, you keep working and working and working and working. We believe that most problems are solved by more money. If we believe that, then we're under its influence. So the lottery. Why do people want to win the lottery? Because they think it's going to solve their problems, right? Instead, it might make things a lot worse. You would think it wouldn't, but history shows that it, in a lot of cases, it does. If winning the lottery meant that you lost your marriage, is it worth it? If winning the lottery meant you lost your children, would it be worth it? If winning the lottery meant you lost your peace and your happiness in life, is it worth it? Now, I'm not preaching against the lottery. The lottery is just really, I think it really helps to reveal sometimes what we're really feeling in our heart, if we're really honest. Would I like to win the lottery? Yeah. Probably one of the reasons why I don't invest in it is because, you know, we sometimes think we would do all this good stuff with it. I don't know if we're always immune to that. Dave Ramsey shared that how much is a lottery ticket? $2? Is it $2? If you were to take $1 a day and invest it in a good mutual fund, starting from like age 20, you're going to be a millionaire when you retire. That's something that isn't based on the chances of you winning the lottery is what? Yeah. So your chances of getting struck by lightning are much better. So, if you want something you can bank on, invest that money, that $30, that $50, that $100, and it'll be there when you retire. So, are you tired of being strapped? Are you hating being under its power and its influence? There's a better way. And that is that point three is that money serves us as we serve God. Money serves us as we serve God. How can money serve us? Well, if you have money and if you've invested it and if you live, part of it is living under your means. So if you're bringing in $3,000 a month, you're not spending $3,000 a month. You're spending maybe $2,000 a month, saving, and you're investing some of that, okay, and then using that. So part of it begins there. But if we allow money to serve us, it means that we can use maybe our money to buy time. Can you buy time? Yeah, you can. Instead of doing some of the things yourself, you can hire somebody else to do it and help them out, right? And you create more time for yourself. So if you have money, you can use it to buy time, whether it's to spend time with family or whatever the case may be. But if you don't have money, you can't do that, right? If you have some money, you can get away and be refreshed. They actually did a study on happiness and just on money. And, okay, Walmart has the big TVs on sale. They're clearancing them out, okay, probably from Christmas leftovers. They don't even fit in a shopping cart. I saw somebody checking one out last night. So they don't even fit in the shopping cart. They just set them on top there, okay? Now, you can spend $1,000 on a big TV set or $1,000 on vacation. What's going to bring you more happiness in the long run? The vacation. And they've actually shown that. That you invest in things like a TV or a couch, things like that, they don't have the lasting satisfaction. Now, the vacation seems like you spend it and it's gone. But the memories that you create on that, they say, has a lasting happiness effect than if you buy something material. Isn't that interesting? We've had these discussions. She's the one that's been more willing to spend money on vacations than me, okay? But when you have taken those vacations, you have those memories. If we have money, we can help further God's kingdom, and we can help. There's been times I thought, you know what? I wish I had more money, because then I would help this person out or do this. And so we have to put our place in that. Money serves us as we serve God. So the points are, we are tempted to serve money, we are tempted to love money, but money serves us as we serve God. In the next couple weeks, we're going to continue to build on how we can maybe move towards being debt-free and use God, the money that God has given us, for a good purpose and a good reason, and to bring peace to our own heart and our own life. But it comes down to, many times we think, you know what, I have a money problem. No, many times we have a lifestyle problem, which many times is stemmed from a spiritual problem, right? Because if we have a lifestyle problem, we think we have to live at a certain level to be happy. And that's not always the case. I was just thinking about, I don't know, we had a discussion with the Brookses over New Year's. And what we were laughing about wasn't all the money that we've made, but what were we laughing about? We were laughing about the times that it was difficult and tight, right? And we didn't like being there, okay? But you have those stages in lives where you have to kind of do what you can to make do. But those aren't always bad times. There's some good memories. You kind of laugh about some of those times. You don't always want to go back there, right? But you remember those times, and they're not always bad times. Sometimes they're character building. Sometimes they help you appreciate things later in life than when you have things. It's not always bad to have, you know, when you're a young person getting out on your own and to have some tough times. I remember, I think it was Aaron that said he had a stretch there at college kind of during break, and he was just living in the dorm, but the cafeteria wasn't open. I think he was living on ramen noodles and stuff like that. And he didn't tell us that he was kind of skimping by, but, you know, it's sometimes you appreciate just kind of when things are better. You have an appreciation. Otherwise, you just think, hey, this is life is normal. I'm going to have the musicians come. In this first message, I think what we really want to look at is, where is our heart? And what has our heart? Are we serving money, or is it serving us as we serve God? And see, God, I think, knew what he was talking about, that if our heart is in the right place, if our heart is in the right place, then everything else will take care of itself. Matthew 6, do you have that, Evan? Matthew 6, 19. And Gary referred to this earlier. I don't know if he knew I was going to touch upon this or not. Do not store up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. But instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's investing in the things that are eternal. And that's what always frustrates me, is that I can buy something brand new, and the minute you buy it, it usually depreciates, right? And it never lasts forever. Nothing does. But if we invest in things that are eternal, furthering God's kingdom, investing our money in good places, God says, you know what? That's something you can take into eternity with you. You can take it into eternity with you, whether it is leading somebody to Christ and showing them the way to God, whether it's helping a missionary out so that they can share the gospel to somebody who has never heard, whether it's helping somebody out in need that just needs some clothes, food, a place to live. Those are the things that God says, those are eternal. And that's being, you're investing in the bank up in heaven, right? Moth, rust can't get there. You know, I thought about winning the lottery. It's kind of like, where would I keep the money? You know, you can put it in the bank, but the bank doesn't guarantee it, does it? Doesn't guarantee it. You can invest it in some stock market. Okay, that's supposed to average, you know, whatever, 7, whatever percent. It could tank. You could lose it all. It could get wings and fly away. But you invest in God, you get your heart right, it helps us to utilize what He places within our hands, to use it in a way that furthers Him, that loves others, and serves His kingdom. And so if you want to know where your heart is, all you have to do is open up your checkbook or look at your financial statement. You can see where your heart is. Because wherever you spend your money, that kind of tells you what's your passion. What do you love to do? What has your heart? I'm not going to do that to you. But that's a good thing to look at. Look at your checkbook. Where are you investing? That tells you where your heart is. What steps can you take to ensure that you're serving God and not money? In what ways have you been tempted to love money more than you love God? Those are some good questions just to examine in your own heart, right, this morning. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with that chorus. And Victor and Yolanda will be at the back, and Gary, Mary, if you could be at the back there as well. If you have a need or request, they'll pray with you. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this morning, money is an interesting thing within our culture. And it's very integrated in just to our daily lives, what we do. We're going to leave here, and some of us are going to go out to eat at a restaurant. It takes money. We're going to put money out to get food. We're going to go through this week, and we're going to have bills to pay, whether it's gas in our car, pay the light bill. It's part of our daily life. But we can get to the place where we are serving debt and money and this system that we feel like we have to stay caught up with, instead of living in freedom and some contentment and allowing money to be something that serves us, that we can serve other people, we can serve God, provide for our needs with. And so, Father, this morning, by your Holy Spirit, just speak to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, bless the conversations that husband and wives have together, maybe today or this week. And Lord, it's not an easy thing, but it's something that we need to get a handle on so that we can live freer lives without stress, that we can get under the hold of debt in our life and be free and available to do maybe some of the things you've called us to do, or just to be a vessel that you can flow through and be a blessing to other people. We can't do that if we are under the pressure or under the hold of debt. So Father, I pray that you just be with us today. Help us to honor you in our lives through all that we do. We ask in your name. Amen. Sing this chorus together and just reflect upon the words of Spring.